The reading this evening is Psalm 62 and can be found on page 574 of the Church Bibles. Page 574, Psalm 62. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge, is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together, lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Only God has spoken. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work.
Well, Anne, thanks so much for reading. And let me add my warm welcome to you all on this sunny bank holiday evening. Do keep your Bibles open, and there's a roadmap on your handouts for where we're going through the psalm. But let's pray as we dive into God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your powerful voice, which we've heard through your word. We do pray as we unpack it together just now that you would strengthen us, your people, to know you, to honour you, and to live your way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our eldest daughter and I have been reading The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And it's set right in the middle of World War II. So darkness has fallen over the world as the Nazis spread fear and hatred. No one feels safe. And the story of The Hiding Place is the story of Corrie ten Boom and her close-knit family risking their lives to hide Jews and others hunted by the Nazis in a secret hiding place they built into the old building. But one day, Corrie and her family were betrayed. They were captured and sent to concentration camps to die. Their whole world came crashing in on them in an instant. Imagine how they would have felt. How do you feel safe and secure when everything crashes in on you and there seems to be nowhere out? Now, Corrie ten Boom's situation was a particularly dark story at a particularly dark moment in time. Perhaps you can identify with some of these kinds of battles and feelings. Perhaps you've been in that kind of dark, desperate place where there's overwhelming, relentless despair and you feel like there's no way out. Perhaps when you feel attacked or betrayed, or when you feel overwhelmed, vulnerable and defenseless at times. Perhaps you may be there in the future. Perhaps you're there at this very moment. How do you feel safe and secure when everything crashes in on you? Well, that is the question that Psalm 62 addresses this evening. And we see at the beginning that this is a psalm of David. And so it was written about 3,000 years ago by King David. And King David knew more than anyone what it felt like to be attacked, betrayed, overwhelmed, defenseless, and completely alone. And as we move through this psalm, we realize that David has found ultimate security. He's found what we're all looking for. And he wrote and sang this song to celebrate that security and to show us how we can find that too, if you haven't already. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. This is the driving thrust of the entire psalm. And so the psalm comes in three parts, and each part ends in this little Selah, which helps us to pause and reflect after each part. And in each part, David gives us a warm and earnest plea to trust God. And not only that, but we're going to be powerfully taught exactly how to trust God throughout the opposition and trials. So how do you feel safe and secure when everything around you crashes in on you? Well, three lessons this evening. And the first is this. Resolve to trust God only. Trust God only. Let's take a look at the beginning of the psalm again. It reads, to the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. You see, in whatever circumstance, David resolves to trust God only. His security is found in the reality of God. He sings, God only is my rock. That unchanging, solid, firm foundation under his feet. And so he sings, I shall not be greatly shaken. Nothing will greatly shake him in this life or in eternity. He sings, God is my fortress. From him comes my salvation. And because David knows all of these truths, because he knows that he is safe in God, his soul, his innermost being, finds rest in God alone. He's not anxious, stressed, or panicked. He's calm and at peace because he knows he's safe in God. David trusts God only. And this security that David knows is just so attractive, isn't it? But we might be saying to ourselves as we read this psalm, I wonder why David felt like this. He was a king, after all. He had it easy. But with all of the stress and strain that we have in our lives, I can't be secure like he was. But actually, David wrote this song when he was under intense pressure. See, as David wrote this song, he was under attack. And we see that it was a continuous attack, verse 3. How long will all of you attack a man? So it was an attack from many people to batter him. And David was very weak. He describes himself as a leaning wall or a tottering fence. You know how sharks, when they see a fish that's bleeding, they circle in on that fish. Well, wicked men are often like that. When they see someone weak and vulnerable, they attack. And that's what was happening to David as he wrote this psalm, verse 4. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse, Selah. David's enemies were turning on him in his weakness. They wanted to bring him down, to utterly destroy him. And these enemies delighted in lies. They're spreading lies about him. But perhaps the worst part for David, verse 4, was their hypocrisy. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. They were speaking well to his face, but hating him in their hearts. Well, if you've ever been under attack like this, from people at work or at school or anyone else, you'll know how difficult this is. When people want to get rid of you, they want to make your life a misery. It's painful, it's scary, it's infuriating, and it's exhausting. It makes you feel weak and confused. And that is what David is going through as he writes. And yet this psalm oozes peace and confidence. Even under intense attack, David feels safe and secure in God. He trusts God only. Now, that is so important to know, isn't it? As God's people, that God doesn't promise to stop us facing difficulty. God doesn't promise to stop difficult and dangerous things happening to us. Instead, he promises to keep us safe, even when they happen. So God doesn't promise to stop his people losing their job or their home. But he does promise to provide for us whatever happens. God doesn't promise to stop people falling ill or dying. But he does promise to bring us home to him in glory. And he doesn't promise to stop people attacking us, but he does promise that even if people do attack us, he will use it for our good, to make us more like Jesus, his son. So how do you feel safe and secure when everything crashes in on you? David says, resolve to trust in God only. That was point one. But the second point of this lesson is that we must fight to trust God always. Fight to trust God always. Now, trusting God is a battle. And we see this. Perhaps we even feel David's soul being agitated throughout the psalm. His trust in God is being tested. And that's why in verse 5, we hear the same resolve to trust God alone that we heard right at the beginning in verse 1, if you compare the two. However, this time, David's not talking to a mass of people. He's talking to himself. Verse 5. My God, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. David is talking to himself. Now, lots of people say that talking to yourself is the first sign of madness. But in the Bible, it's actually the root of spiritual sanity. And so he's wrestling with this. He's fighting. In verse 5 and 6, David virtually reiterates what he said in verses 1 and 2. And it's like he's intensifying this fight. But you see, David's ultimate battle, just like you and me, was not primarily with his enemies. No, his primary battle was with his own soul. His primary battle was whether he was even going to continue to trust God only. And you see, this is such a vital thing for us to understand and to embrace here this evening. The resolve to trust God only is something that we have to choose. It's something we have to preach over and over and over again to ourselves, millions of times a day. Now, did you notice when Anne read the psalm, the sheer number of times David uses that little word, my? I counted 14 my's in the psalm as a whole. And as I now read verses 5 to 7, listen out to how often that word my comes up in just three short verses. So let's read together from verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. You see, David's relationship with God is deeply personal. I guess for many people, God is just an idea out there. He may or may not be real. And if he is real, well, he made the world in the past. I may meet him one day in the future, but he's not in my life now. He's just an idea out there. But for David, God is not just an idea. He is a person who he has a relationship with. God is my salvation. David can say, God has taken my sins away and made me right with him. God is my fortress. David can say, I know that God is protecting and defending me day by day. God is my hope. David can say, as I look to the future and to eternity, my confidence is in what God will give to me. It's the difference, isn't it, between mere religion and true faith. For David, God's not just an idea out there. He's my saviour, my fortress, and my hope. And so as David is preaching this to his own soul, that he's resolving to trust God only, he's affirming, I've got to trust God always. But then verse 8 opens the door of all of this relationship to us all. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You see, this relationship with God is not just for kings and prophets and special people. It's open to us all. And David shows how to move beyond God as just an idea out there to God as a person that we have a relationship with. Firstly, you trust him, verse 8. You trust him at all times, O people. In life's battles, you decide to trust that God is there and to trust him to be your saviour and protector and to trust that his ways are best. And to yield your life to him. You trust in him. And then in verse 8, you pour out your hearts before him. That is that we don't keep God at a distance. It's the opposite of being silent, isn't it? No, we tell him how we're feeling. We tell him our hopes and our fears. And of course, we see this so dramatically displayed in the life of Jesus himself, don't we? As everything was moving closer and closer and closer to the reality of the cross, the rejection, the ridicule, the slander, the unjust hatred from godless people, the desertion of his own disciples. And what was it that Jesus cried out on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? He's pouring out his soul to God. If the incarnate Son of God experienced such a dynamic pouring out of his soul to God the Father, what's stopping us as the people of God from doing the same? As we listen to God's word, like we're doing this evening, we can speak truth about God to our own souls and to pray, and we pray and pour out our soul, our hearts before him. Let me ask you all here this evening, Is God just an idea out there, or a person with whom I can have a relationship with? My saviour, my fortress, my hope. Someone you can pour your soul out before. David shows us how to begin that relationship with God, how to grow and sustain that relationship with God, so that we constantly decide to trust him as we pour out our hearts to him and as we speak to ourselves, teaching ourselves truth about him. How do you feel safe and secure when everything crashes in on you? Well, David says, resolve to trust God only and to fight to trust God always. But every now and then, you might be thinking, well, this is just seems so simplistic, doesn't it? It seems so naive. I mean, here's the bottom line. Does it really work? Can I really trust God only and always? Well, this leads us to our third and final point. We must listen to trust God confidently. Listen to trust God confidently. Now, these verses, verses 9 to 12, are like a giant exclamation point for verses 1 to 8. And the point is to encourage us to listen to God, that we might trust him confidently. And we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment, verse 11. But before that, he brings us in these two contrasts, verses 9 and 10, which tell us what not to trust, so that we'll be all the more eager to trust God confidently. And David tells us to put no trust in people, verse 9, and pounds, verse 10. So the first one, people. Now, it's so easy, isn't it, to trust ourselves and our own abilities to keep us safe and secure. Or it's so easy to trust in other people, our friends and family, to protect us. And David says in verse 9, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Our abilities can fail us. Our friends can leave us. And our families won't be there forever. There are so many situations where other people can't keep us safe. And then the other place we tend to look for security is money, pounds. When we feel under threat, it's so tempting to think that money can get us out of it. But David says, verse 10, put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. I think one way that we can diagnose our own hearts, where we can tell whether we're trusting in people, with money or in God, is how we react when bad news comes. Now, a few years ago, Lynn, my wife, actually had a cancer scare, and it was obviously really, really scary at the time. And thankfully, she's been given the all clear. But you know what my first thought was? It was, who do I know who can sort this out? My second thought was, can money get me out of this? And my third thought was to turn to prayer. And that's the wrong way round, isn't it? It's a battle for all of us, isn't it? Putting our trust not in people, not in pounds, but trusting in God. And so David says, and this is the key to the whole thing, putting your trust in God's power and love, and that will help you listen confidently. So when verse 11 says, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. In the Hebrew language, that's a way of sort of saying, this is absolutely certain. Listen to the next bit. that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. The end of verse 11 is literally, power belongs to you, O God. God made the universe and its vast galaxies with his word. He made the sun and its immense power with his word. He sustains it all and keeps it going with a word of power. He is the God of limitless power. He can do whatever he pleases. But not only that, and this is amazing, he's also the God of steadfast love. So at the start of verse 12 is literally, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Now in the Old Testament, God's steadfast love is his unfailing love to his covenant people. I think we can imagine a God of limitless power, can't we? Perhaps we can start to get our heads around that. But what blows our minds is a God who made the universe and also who loves his people. A God who's not too distant, but loves and cares for us deeply, not detached, but works for our good in all things. A God of unlimited power and steadfast love. And that's why he's a rock and fortress for his people. It's why ultimate security is found in God only, because he is the God of limitless power and steadfast love. Well, the psalm ends in verse 12, for you will render to a man according to his work. Now, this is a two-edged sword. David isn't saying that we're saved by what we do, our good works. Now, he's quite clear in the Psalms. David knows he's saved by God's grace through the forgiveness of his sins. What David means at the end of verse 12 is that if we reject God, if we keep him at arm's length, if we refuse to yield in our lives, if we put our trust in other things, instead, that will result in disaster, spiritual and eternal disaster. But if on the other hand, we acknowledge God and put our trust in him and take refuge in him, well, the result is security, spiritual and eternal security. So how do you feel safe and secure when everything crashes in on you? We must resolve to trust God only, fight to trust God always, and listen to trust God confidently. Now, as we conclude, I need to ask, how do you feel about this, all of this? Whether you've been a Christian for a number of years, you're literally a St. John stalwart, or whether you're a visitor here for the first time this evening. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, that's really nice. But isn't this just whistling in the wind, a psalm to balm, words to make people feel better? Perhaps we could say that, couldn't we? If it wasn't for one thing, one person, a man who showed up in our world, limitless power and steadfast love that this psalm speaks of. A man who with a touch gives sight to the blind. A man who with a word feeds the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish. A man who by calling his name brought his friend Lazarus back to life. A man who lived to serve others, who died on a cross to deal in his own body with our sins. Jesus Christ, God himself, shows us in history the limitless power and steadfast love that David speaks of in this psalm. Now, Jono just shared, actually, that famous saying from Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, just after the confession. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's a divine claim, isn't it? How can Jesus say that? Well, because he is God. It's as we come to Christ, trust in him as our Lord and Saviour, submit to him as our Lord and King, that we find ultimate safety and security that comes from God alone. Now, Corrie ten Boom, who we mentioned right at the start, the one who suffered in a Nazi death camp, once stated, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." So as we start our exams, for some of you, or our working week, how do you feel safe and secure? Well, don't trust in yourself. We can't keep ourselves safe and secure. Don't trust in other people, in family and friends. They can't do it. Don't trust in pounds. We know that money can't protect us. No, the only way that we can feel safe and secure is by trusting God only. Trusting God always and trusting God confidently. So come to Christ and keep coming to him. Let's pray. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, we thank you that you came into this world in the person of Jesus, and that you lived and died and rose again. And please teach us, Lord, to find safety and security in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.